Amen. Thank you, Barry and Sarah. That's a beautiful truth, beautiful song, His Life for Mine. That's what salvation is. Amen. That's why you ought to be smiling today and rejoicing. He gave His life for ours so that we could be saved. This passage is what that's all about. I love it. Verse 35, it came to pass as he was coming nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. You know, you think about that. Why was he there? How did he happen to be there? Now, some would say, boy, he was lucky. No. It has nothing to do with it. A certain man, and he sat by the wayside begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. He didn't know what was going on. He can't see. He's blind. He doesn't know what's happening. But he asked the people, he said, why is there so much racket? What's going on? Why is all this action taking place? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And boy, he heard about Jesus. He knew what that meant. He knew who Jesus was, knew a little bit about him. And he saw his opportunity, and he took advantage of his opportunity. And I want to talk to you about that when Jesus passes by. I think about the times that Jesus passes by. We have an opportunity. Maybe it'll be just a few minutes, the invitation. God speaks to your heart. He's talking to you. You know, and you're here and you're not saved, and you have an opportunity to get saved. What a great opportunity that is. And you decided to come to church today, and you decided to listen to a message today and listen to preaching today. And maybe you're having trouble in your life, and he could help you with that trouble today. And I just think of the opportunity we have when Jesus passes by. Now, he gave his life for you and I. He shed his blood so we could be saved. Please, if you've never been saved, take advantage of the opportunity. If you're a Christian today, and understand, Jesus has opportunities that come into your life where he wants to do something in your life. Don't think that you're out here all by yourself. Think that you're that certain person that Jesus wants to do something for today when Jesus passes by. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts today. And I pray you'll help every person here, especially I pray for an unsaved person who needs to be saved, that they would recognize their need of that and they would trust Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that they would realize it's no accident that they're here today. It's no accident that they've heard a song about you dying for them. It's no accident, Lord, that they're going to hear a message about how they can be saved. Please, please save them today. And I pray for Christians all over this auditorium that we also would realize we're that certain person as well, and we're precious to you. And Lord, you want to do something in our lives. I pray we'd realize it, and we would take advantage of the opportunity, Lord, that you've availed to us. Bless the preaching, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in my parents were unsaved. We didn't go to church. We might have gone to church at Easter and Christmas. I'm not sure about that. I remember one time going to a Methodist church and they had communion, and I remember being up there and my mom and dad and my sister and I was very young, and we were up at the altar taking communion, and I remember wondering what it was all about. I remember knowing that I didn't know what it was all about. And when we have the Lord's Supper, folks, make sure you talk to your children and explain what it is, explain the juice and the bread and how Jesus gave his life for us. But I remember wondering what that's all about, wonder what it would be like to go to church. But several times in my life, even though I didn't grow up in a Christian home, very clearly Jesus passed by my life, no question about it. And folks giving me gospel tracts, you've heard me tell the story about the girl in my etymology class that handed me one of those tracts that looked like a MasterCard. And I thought, wow, she's giving me a charge card. This is great. But it said, give Christ charge of your life. And on the back, it had the plan of salvation. And God was dealing with me as a teenage boy at that time. I remember, and I made reference to this recently in messages, at different church meetings and religious functions. And I remember God speaking to my heart specifically about the fact that I was lost. And every time the invitation was given, I knew that I should make the decision, but I did not. And Jesus passed by and spoke to my heart about being saved. And more specifically, at the Wesleyan camp, just talked about this recently, a huge Wesleyan camp, and God spoke to my heart again about being saved. And I was under so much conviction, and there was no question Jesus was dealing with me, and I knew I was going to hell, but I did not get saved. And thank God that he just kept working on my heart. Thank God he kept passing by. Thank God people like you and I were involved. People that would keep talking to me and keep witnessing to me and keep praying for me and giving me gospel tracts and emphasizing over and over again to me that I needed to get saved. And a youth director and another worker in the youth group getting me in a room and getting me aside and talking to me about the need that I had to be saved. And Jesus just kept after me, and thank God for that. Maybe you're under conviction today. Thank God for conviction. Thank God that He stays after us, and He's long-suffering, and He's patient with us, and He stays after us, and because it is an opportunity. But I guess the most, I think, is to realize the greatness. Jesus passing by, what a great thought that is. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, God, passing by my life and dealing with me. What an awesome thing that is. And the event of that is amazing. And you know, we all have these opportunities. Here we are in church, and I believe with all my heart that He's going to speak to your heart today. And I believe that He's going to deal with each of us. And we all have different needs, and yet He passes by us in different ways. For some folks, it's you need to be saved today. For other folks, you need to get baptized today. For other folks, you need to join the church today. For somebody else, He'll speak to you about tithing. For others, He'll speak to you about maybe a problem that you're having today. And Jesus passes by our lives. Take advantage of the greatness of the event that Jesus Christ, by the way, He's the one that can make a difference in your life. He's the one that can actually change your life. He's the one that can meet that need. He's the one that can save your soul. And Jesus, when He passes by, things happen. Something happens. And here we see the opportunity taken. Jesus, again, He's passing by. He's coming nigh unto Jericho. And how many times would He go by Jericho? How many times would this man, how many times would He actually be there? How many times? I mean, certainly He sat by the wayside begging. I'm sure He had done that many times. But how many times would He be there when Jesus passes by? That's the important thing about it. How many times would He be there when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming? He's a blind man. He doesn't know all these things. What an opportunity He has. I know He passed by Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was found out what it meant to be born again. I know He passed by the woman at the well, and she got saved. I know He passed by 10 lepers, and He healed them. I know He passed by the nobleman's son and healed him. I know He passed by 5,000 to 20,000 hungry people, and He fed them. I know He passed by the maniac of Gadara, and he was no longer a maniac. I know He passed by the thief on the cross, and the thief got saved. I mean, understand, He passed by Lazarus in a tomb, and Lazarus came alive from the tomb, and He came out of the tomb, and He came out of the grave clothes. I know He passed by Peter and Andrew while they were fishing, and they became disciples for Him. I know He passed by Matthew when he was collecting taxes, and his life was changed, and he became a soul winner. When He passes by, all I'm saying is something always happens. And you know, when we pray for our services, when we pray for our activities, we need to say, God, do something in our activities. Do something in our service. Do something in our Christian school. Do something in our chapel. Do something in our Sunday school. Work in people's hearts and pass by their lives so that their lives are never the same. Never the same. Maybe something this morning you need Him to do. Something you need to happen in your life. You know, one of the certainties of life for people is that sometime or another he's gonna pass by. That is a certainty of life. That is a certainty for every person. Sometime or another, Jesus is gonna deal with us. That's very clear in the Scripture. And maybe we're too busy and we miss out on it. Wouldn't that be sad? You know, here you are, a Christian today. You're saved. You trusted Christ as your Savior. You already have that nailed down. You know that for sure. But maybe you just have too much going on. And you got some problem. Maybe the problem has your attention. And Jesus has said, hey, I've got the answer to your problem. I've got the solution to what you need. I want to work with you. I want to do something. And maybe the invitation is given to you. I just have too much on my mind and I can't. And He says, I want to help you. I want to help you. It's a certainty. He has, or He will, pass by in your life. It's a certainty. There's no question about it. And by the way, church is a great place for Him to do that. It is certain. He loves you. He's looking for you. He's looking to do something in our life. Every person in this room, He wants to do something in our life. And He's God. He can. And He's God. He can deal with every one of us all at the same time and the multitude of people all over this world. But it's certain today. No question about it. Just as this was a certain man, a certain blind man that had a need, there is no question about this. God has something He wants to do in your life today. And I show you this some thoughts through this passage. Number one, we see a certain man. He's just a certain man. The Bible says he was blind. In the book of Mark, the Bible says his name was Bartimaeus. And so he's just a certain man. I don't know anything much about this guy. I just know that he's a blind man. I know that he's a certain blind man. And so he's a certain man, and he was blind. Bible doesn't say why he's blind, just says he's blind. I do want to remind you that sin blinds us. No question about that. Samson, the Bible tells a story about Samson. His eyes were put out because of his sin. But he was blind spiritually before he lost his physical eyes. Amen. And you know, a lot of folks are blind. Unsaved people don't see heaven. They don't see hell. You go soul winning and people say, I'm not interested in it. How could you not be interested in that? How could you not be interested in heaven and hell? How could you not be interested in these days when it looks like things are happening all around? Things are happening. How could you not be interested in the idea that Jesus Christ is coming again? How could you not be interested in being left behind? How could you not be interested in having to go to a devil's hell for all eternity to burn and to suffer all kinds of judgment? How could a person not be interested? All I can think is they're blind. All I can think is they're, you know, I was thinking about as I was talking to Dale. By the way, they had one saved in Morenci yesterday out knocking on doors. But I was thinking, knocking on doors in Morenci, and some people said, we're not interested. Some people said, we don't care. You see it right here. When you go soul winning, there's always going to be somebody just says, you know, I don't care. How can you not see that? Because we're blind. People are blind. You ever knock on a door, somebody comes to the door and they've got their beer in their hand, you know, hey, you know, if there is a hell, I'm going to go party down there. They're blind. They're blind. I'm going to drink a beer with my buddies. How could you say that? If they only knew, if they could only see that in Luke 16, the rich man couldn't even get a drop of water in hell. You see, blindness. This certain man, though, was blind, but you know, when Jesus passed by, he didn't let his blindness affect him. You know, maybe you're here as a Christian and your problems have obscured your vision as well. You know, maybe as a Christian you say, you know, I've got too many problems to pay attention in church. I have too many things going on to pay attention in Sunday school. I have too much happening. And you know, the choir sang about joy in serving Jesus. And you know, I'm got problems and I have needs. And you know what? You're blind. Jesus wants to pass by you and He wants to give you joy in serving Jesus. We should have joy when we serve God. We should have joy as we read our Bibles. We should have joy as we come to church. We should have joy as we go to Sunday school. We should have joy as we run our bus route. We should have joy in our Christian school. There should be joy in all these things. But you know, sin will blind you to the joy. And I would just encourage you, you know, as a Christian, what you need to do maybe is say, like the blind man, hey, what's going on? I hear some action going on. I hear some people laughing. I hear some people joyful. I hear some rejoicing and praising. Hey, take the blinders off and say, you know what? I think Jesus is trying to pass by me and do something for me. And I think Jesus would like you to have joy. In fact, I know He would. Look at 2 Peter 1, verse 4, and we'll move on. I just I don't want to leave this out. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4 Bible says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And Jesus passes, hey, listen, he wants you to not be, not forget what God did for you. The song that just was saying, you know, his life for mine, I'm purged from my sin. A certain man was blind. He was blind. And you know, sad to say, sometimes we don't see the cross. Sometimes we don't see what is our duty. Sometimes we don't see what is our opportunity. All we see is selfishness and sin. And honestly, Jesus passes by over and over and over and over. He passes by you, teenager, in chapel. He passes by you in the youth meeting. He passes by, and every time he says, hey, I love you. I love you. You know, there's folks, you're bitter today. You're upset about this and upset about that. And Jesus says, look, I love you. I want to help you. I want to meet your needs. I want to take care of you. I want to give you new life. This man, this certain man, he was blind, but he was also a beggar. And you know, his blindness, I assume, caused him to be a beggar. I assume that because he was blind, that he couldn't get a job, and therefore he was a beggar. And you know, how sad, how sad. You know, sin will bring people down to the level of being a beggar. You know, people may pity you as a beggar, and certainly there are beggars, and we've seen them and watch them, and you may feel sorry, and you know, the beggar will settle for scraps all the time. And a beggar will take anything you get. Hey, you got 5 cents, you got a penny, you got this, you got that. You know, they'll settle for pretty much any scraps. But this guy recognized, wait a minute, Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. Why would I settle for the scraps of the world when the King of Kings is passing by me? Christian, honestly, why would we be willing to settle for whatever the world can give us when the King of Kings passes by our lives over and over and over and over again? All you have to do, get your Bible out, get on your knees, talk to him, go to church, go to Sunday school, listen to preaching, ask him, God, come by me, speak to my heart, deal with me. God has so much more to offer than the scraps that this world has. God has so much to give you today. And again, you and I are just like that certain man. Jesus is passing by our lives. He has something he wants to do. Number one, there's a certain man. Number two, there's a certain meeting. A certain meeting. And here, of course, it was here by Jericho. But it, you know, some people might say, boy, that guy sure was lucky that Jesus came by there. There is no such thing as luck. And there's no such thing as luck when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I believe with all my heart in that Wesleyan camp, me sitting in the middle of it. Again, my family not Christian, my family not Wesleyan, but my neighbors were Wesleyan and they invited me to that camp. I believe that is the providence of God Almighty. I believe that God made an appointment for me and God put things in order so I'd be sitting there. I don't think it's an accident that you're sitting here. I don't think it's an accident that you were in Sunday school. I don't think when you got saved it was accident that you were where you were when you got saved. I believe with all my heart that God put you there and God made things happen so you were there. You say, but I was in a hospital. I was in a hospital bed. I was in bad shape when I got saved. Praise God, if it took that to get you saved, praise God you got saved. I'm reminded of George Luger. A man in Geneva, Indiana, years ago, we prayed for him. His kids rode the bus. They came to our church. This man would not get saved. He cussed us out a few times when we went to his house. And I remember the day he finally invited me in and he said, hey, he said, I want you to know this. I have cancer. And I remember we talked to him and he was going to get saved. And I remember him breaking down. And I remember him being starting to listen to us now. And he had cancer and the cancer got worse and he lost weight and he lost his hair. And I remember that man 2 weeks before he died in a hospital bed begging the Lord Jesus to save his soul. And I'll tell you what, he's glad today as he's in heaven and has been for years now, running up and down streets of gold and rejoicing. He's glad today that it was a hospital bed that caused him to recognize he needed to get saved. You know, wherever Jesus passes by, it may be at the funeral of a loved one. It may be in the hospital of a loved one. It may be who knows where you may be. But understand this: it's a certain meeting place that God's in control of. Maybe it was your Sunday school class. Maybe it's a youth meeting this afternoon. That's why parents, your kids ought to be at the youth meeting every time. Every time, 5 o'clock, every Sunday evening. I mean, just like always, 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 always. Well, my kids aren't interested in that, and that's why they ought to be there. Hello? That's why they ought to be there, because that'll get them used. It'll get them interested. God's trying to get a hold of their heart. It's a certain meeting. You remember, don't you? It was a certain meeting. I'd heard the gospel before. I'd heard how to be saved. I'd gone to church, but it was a certain meeting. And the preacher preached about the coming of Christ. And it was a certain meeting. I often have thought, what if I hadn't gone that day? What if something would have happened that day? What if there would have been other circumstances? And I promise you this, the devil fights all that. And our angels are busy that are around. And I often think, wow, what if I hadn't heard that message? But I remember God working on my heart. And it was a certain meeting, and Jesus passed by again and said, you need to be saved. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my child. A certain meeting. I can't help but look very far, and I look over and I see Paula Key. Just an amazing story of her getting saved. We were supposed to be at Mackinac Island. And somebody died. And we had to come back for the funeral. I had to come back early. And we pull in the parking lot. I can still see it. I can still see Paula walking out there in the parking lot. And my wife saw her and walked up to her. And Paula said, I need to find a church. My husband is over in the Middle East serving in the military. And we need a good church. And she came and my wife said, oh, I'll be glad to show you our church. Come on in. And she brought her in and shows her all the church and brought her here in the auditorium and told her how much Jesus loved her. And there was a certain meeting that had to happen. It had to take place. And Paula, whatever it was that brought you into our parking lot that day, whatever it was that brought us home and how we happened to be there that day, it has nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with God saying, I'm going to pass by. You have an opportunity. How'd you get saved? We you know, testimony times. What a wonderful thing it is to hear the stories of how I sure was lucky. Has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It was a place here for this man, according to verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Huh? It was a place where he could hear. It was a place where he could hear. I was thinking while the choir was singing this morning about joy in serving Jesus, I was thinking, about that's an old song. Hey, man, that's a good song. Joy in serving Jesus. I was thinking, you know, if you're real carnal, that probably doesn't appeal to you much. I was thinking, you know, if you're real fleshly and you're interested in fleshly things, that probably doesn't appeal to you much. But I was thinking this, you know, in a few minutes, folks are going to get to hear the precious words of God and that God can use that in hearts and lives. And that's what it's all about here. I was thinking about Sunday school classes and how people heard from the Bible how they could be saved, how children heard from the Bible how God could change their life, how teenagers heard from the Word of God how that God can change their life. And I was thinking, this is a good place. It's the right place, a place where God can get people's attention. They're like, whoa, 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 what's that I heard? What was that? I was thinking about our youth explosion, Brother Caleb, and all those teenagers came in. They found out, you know what, there are some people that still preach the old-fashioned truth. You must be born again. There is no other way. It's not a touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy kind of thing. It is salvation by grace, through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. There isn't any other way to get saved. I was thinking, you know what, I'm glad this is a place. I'm glad this is a place people can meet and people can hear and say, hey, what's that? What's that? God had to get me to a Wesleyan camp where I could hear it. He had to pull me out of my worldly living and my worldly life. And I thought I went to that camp to look at girls. God said, you're at that camp so you can hear the gospel. Amen. I didn't know. Hey, listen to me. And thank God for a place. And we need to be that place where people can hear the gospel and where the Holy Spirit of God will work in our hearts. Amen. And so it was a good place, but it was also the best place. Look at verse 37. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. A place where Jesus passes by. And in fact, we don't know about Jericho as far as whether you know, he had been there before. He had been there, but just not very much. And I believe, according to Scripture, he would never be there again. Do you understand that if you're not saved today, there will be a last time you'll hear the gospel? Do you realize that? There will be a last time. I was absolutely convinced at the age of 17 when I was driving home after hearing that message on the second coming of Christ. I was convinced he's coming tonight. I was convinced. Now, nobody said that in the message. Nobody gave a date or anything like that because that's not biblical. But I was convinced that if he came, I'd be left behind. Convinced. Now, why is that? Because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. He was dealing with me. And I was convinced. By the way, there will be a last time. Do you understand that? There will be the message, the last message, before the rapture takes place. Do you realize there will be the last invitation before Jesus comes back? There will be your last invitation. Do you understand that? You're not saved. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you die today, you'll go to hell. If Jesus comes today, you'll be left behind. Are you listening? There will be. This may be it. We'll give an invitation in a few minutes. We'll sing an invitation song. It may be the last one before you die. Maybe the last one before Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be something? The rapture takes place this afternoon. Wouldn't that be something? That means this is the last service. This is it. And Jesus passes by. A certain meeting. A certain meeting. It is the place where this man, this blind man, he had an opportunity. It's a place, a certain place. An unsaved person can get saved. A backslider can get right. A person can get their prayers answered. A person can have a miracle in their life. A person can receive God's comfort. I'm just saying, understand that Jesus, when he passes by, something can happen. You can have your answer when he passes by. That's why, open your Bible in the morning. Read your Bible in the morning. Talk to God in prayer and ask him for that answer. I'm talking about a person could get the blessing. I'm just saying, that meeting, a certain meeting, we all have them in our lives. I mean, there was that meeting when he called you to do something. There was that meeting that you met with him, and he met that need. There was that meeting where he put his arms around you, and he just loved you and loved you and loved you, and you wept, and he took care of you. It's a certain man, but it's also a certain meeting. Number three, I show you a certain multitude, and the multitude is all out there. Verse 38. Well, the Bible says, hearing the multitude, verse 36, passed by, he asked what it meant. Verse 38, he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And watch verse 39, they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. Hey, buddy, shh, we're all having a good religious time here. hey, buddy, be quiet. Be quiet now. Hold your peace. You need to listen to Jesus. This man said, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you to do something in my life, Jesus. And the multitude said, shh, shh. Thank God for bus ministry. Thank God for Reformers Unanimous. Thank God for ministries where just anybody can come. And anybody can get help from Jesus. Thank God for people, rather than being a multitude, says, hey, be quiet. We got our little program going here. Thank God for a ministry and a multitude that instead of turning people away from Jesus with whatever reasons and whatever they might say. Thank God for folks that this is just what you need. It's exactly what you need. People say, be quiet. People always say, well, you guys are too radical. Don't tell people they're sinners. They'll get mad. You just need to get more emotional. Tap your toe and get down with the music. You know, that'll help you out. That ain't going to help anybody out. People, the multitude will say, well, you need the stress center, or you need to take catechism, or you need to do your own thing, or you need some kind of an experience, or you need to have more money, or you need more rights. All these voices in the world today, you know what this guy needed? This guy needed Jesus. Amen. Good night. I mean, you can listen to some of these people, and they'll send you a healing hanky. They'll send you a little pack of seeds. They'll send you some oil. You know what you need? You just, hey, he's passing by you. You're convicted. You have a need. You need Jesus. You don't need anything else. You need Jesus. Amen. I mean, honestly, in our day, the blind are leading the blind more and more and more and more and more. And there is so much junk out there that the multitude, it's just a certain multitude. Thank God for a multitude here. Thank God for a multitude. You know, at the youth explosion, sure, we had some folks who weren't used to church. Oh, did we ever. And there were some young people who didn't have a clue what you're supposed to do in church. It was obvious. But there was a multitude that knew what was going on. And I looked over at some teenagers. I saw tears in their eyes because they something's happening. What is this all about? What's going on here? Why is my heart fluttering in my chest? What is all that? You know what it is? Jesus is passing by. And boy, 54, I believe it was, took advantage of that opportunity and trusted Jesus as their Savior. You'll notice in verse 36, it says, hearing the multitude pass by. And they just passed by. You know why? They couldn't help. Only Jesus could help. I want you to understand something. We have a lot of people here today, and you just need to understand, gangs can't help. I used to preach this in Flint all the time. We'd have gang people come in many times into our services. One time we had two gangs that were going to fight on one of our buses. That was exciting. Gangs don't help. They can't help you. Understand, the party crowd can't help you. The money crowd can't help you. And listen, the religious crowd, just the religious crowd, they can't help you either. Jesus can help you, though. Amen. He can help you. And this blind beggar, he called on Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It was a certain multitude that was there, a certain multitude that tried to get him to be quiet. But thank God for the certain multitude of Christians who are going soul winning, who are giving out tracts, who are praying and begging God to work. Thank God that they brought him or told him about Jesus. Number four is a certain miracle that takes place. You ever had a certain miracle happen in your life? You know, and the miracle of salvation is the one you need the most. Verse 40, it says, Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. You know, I love this. I love the fact that even though the multitude told this guy to be quiet, he cried louder, the Bible says. And he cried out so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, he'll hear that. He hears that above all the rest of the crowd. He hears that above the rest of the world. You know? And he stood and commanded him to be brought. To be brought. I read that, I think about the bus ministry. I read that, I think about folks that bring people on vans and people in cars. I think about Reformers Unanimous. And I think about that's very precious to Jesus. You say, preacher, the bus ministry, $20,000+ a year. It's actually more than that with what people give extra. It's a lot of money. But understand, we bring them so Jesus can pass by their life. That's what it's all about. Somebody says, you guys bribe little kids to come. We give them gifts and toys, and we have the Berean bucks and all those kind of things. And actually, we don't bribe them. We give it to them because we love them. But I'll be honest with you. Even if we did bribe them, we're taking them to one, bringing them to one who can do something about their life. Amen. And it's worth it. It's worth every part of it. Jesus says, what is your need? What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? When you realize Jesus is passing by, tell him what you need. Tell him. Tell him what's going on in your heart. Tell him what's going on in your life. Because he has a certain miracle that he wants to provide. You hear me give testimonies often about miracles that God has provided in my life. Different times. I just one popped into my mind just now. The time my wife and I had, we had no food in the cabinets. Down in Bible college, had no food in the refrigerator, nothing. We had eaten everything. And I remember just sitting in our little dining area there and just saying, Lord, we have no food, but we're asking you to provide for us today, that we'd have something to eat. And I mean, knock on the door, walk out, open the door and look, and there's a sack of groceries sitting on the little step right there. And the one thing that was so precious about that, I mean, it's all precious because I like to eat. But the one thing that was really precious about that, there were Chips Ahoy cookies in there.
Amen.
God not only met the need, and I'm sure there must have been some vegetables in there, but that didn't catch my eye. But there were Chips Ahoy cookies and Wheaties, I believe, in that little sack. Again, it's a certain miracle. You say, why happened to me like that? I don't have any idea. Same God. And there's all over this room, folks can tell you about miracles. It's a certain miracle. It's for you. It's for you. God's power. This fellow, you know, when Jesus gave him sight, when Jesus healed him, do you understand? This guy didn't, we don't see him worrying about going blind again. He knew Jesus did something. When Jesus does something in your life, you don't have to ever worry about it again. When he saved me, I've not worried about it ever since. Not even thought about it. When he saves you, he saves you. You know why? He keeps his word. He keeps his word. Always. I've had several treatments on my eyes with my glaucoma and cataracts and all those kind of things. And it's interesting. You know, when the doctor does something, I remember one time he did a laser treatment and everything went tick, tick. And I could feel the little ticking in the back of my head, and he was shooting it in my eye, and I figured my head must be hollow or something, I don't know. But honestly, I could feel it, and he kind of laughed, and he said, that's how it is. But I remember how my vision was clearing up as he did all that. I was thinking, woo, this is good. And it was. I mean, he said I had some kind of fog on the cataract lens that they put in there, and he's literally doing it with a laser, somehow getting that stuff off of there. And I remember thinking, wow, this is so good. But you have to understand, it wasn't permanent. And I still go back to the doctor. And I still have to keep going back to the doctor. And I still have to keep using my drops. And he told me the other day, when I saw him, he said, well, you're going to have to start using some drops in your left eye again. And you know what? That's because that's man's work. And I thank God for my doctors and thank God for what they can do. But you know whatever Jesus does? It's perfect.
Amen.
It's always perfect. Oh, he wants to do something in your life today. It's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that he's passing by. He has a certain miracle. And I know we the devil, I think, convinces us sometimes, well, that's for that guy. That's for that person. Why can't it be for you? Why can't it be for you? And then the last thing, number five, it's a certain moment. A certain moment. In verse 43, it says, immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. A certain moment. Had he listened to the multitude and kept quiet and walked away, that moment would not have taken place. You see, it's our decision that we have to make. We'll give an invitation just a few minutes away. We'll have an invitation. You'll have an opportunity. It's a moment. What will you do? Will you get saved? Will you walk out lost? It's just a certain moment. A certain moment. You're not right with God? Invitation will be given. You'll have an opportunity. Will you get right with God or will you just walk out? There's something in your life that's bugging you. I mean, it's a mess. Your life, you have problems and this and that. And so here's a certain moment. It's an opportunity. What will you do? Typical. It happens every invitation. Somebody will say, I'll deal with that later on. Really? But Jesus is passing by now. He spoke to you now. Why would you wait? Well, you know, I just don't have time to mess with this stuff right now. Whether you're lost, whether you're a Christian, when Jesus passes by, call on him. When he speaks to your heart, deal with it. When he tells you to make a decision, make the decision. It is a certain moment. that you may never, never have an opportunity again. I wonder how many folks are in hell that walked out of a service like this. The invitation was given, their heart pounded, sweat poured, and they didn't get saved. Today they're in hell. It might have been under the preaching of Billy Sunday. Might have been under the preaching of Charles Wesley. It might have been under another preacher, another service, and they're in hell today. And I just wonder if they don't remember that invitation over and over and over and over and over again. Because they missed out. Whatever you do, don't miss out on your certain moment. I think of the answers to prayer. I think of the things that God has done in my life. And every now and then, though, I stop and I think, I wonder what I missed because of my own stupidity. I wonder what I missed because of my own sinfulness. I wonder if there were some things that I missed because I wasn't willing when that moment came to make that decision. Whatever you do, make the decision as Jesus passes by.